Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to a brand new Arseblog Arsecast right here on arseblog.com. It's an Arsecast on a Monday and not an Arsecast extra. In some ways, it's my fault because when I was arranging the Arsecast extra guest presenters to cope with James's absence, I did so on the basis that he would be back today. Now, technically speaking, he is back today, but he doesn't get to the UK until sometime this evening. And it's unfair, really, isn't it, to ask someone who's traveled all that distance to put the bags down and just do a podcast straight away. It's also a bit of a strange week with everything that's going on because we've got a game on Tuesday night, tomorrow night, against Swansea. So if we did one in the morning, it would be out of date. And then there's transfer deadline day on Wednesday. And it's all just a bit kind of up in the air because aside from all that, there's stuff going on. There's the Aubameyang thing. It looks like it's happening. It looks like we're going to sign Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang from Borussia Dortmund for a club record fee. But what does that mean? Does that mean that Olivier Giroud is going to go to Chelsea? I hope not. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think there's any real way of justifying that from a sporting point of view. I mean, Giroud wants to play. Of course he does. It's a World Cup year. But Aubameyang, if he arrives, is cup-tied for the Europa League. He can't play in the Europa League, which leaves us with just Alexandre Lacazette, of course, Danny Welbeck as well. But Giroud is a reliable goal scorer. And we should remember that the Europa League is a way back into the Champions League next season. We shouldn't do anything that really makes that a bit more difficult. But look, I'm getting off the point a bit here. The point was that we have an Arsecast today, and we will have an Arsecast extra at some point later in the week. I'm not sure exactly when. Wednesday or Thursday? I don't know. Should we do it before the transfer deadline or after the transfer deadline? Should we do one on Wednesday and do another one on Thursday? I don't know. We're going to play it by ear. But anyway, although we don't have an Arsecast extra today, we still have somebody to talk to who I'm sure you'll enjoy listening to. There's a lot to talk about. There's Aubameyang, Mkhitaryan, there's the Carabao Cup final, there's Alex Iwobi, there's Jack Wilshere, there's transfer business, there's stuff going on behind the scenes, and lots more. So I'm delighted to welcome back to the show, as always, the one and only Ian Wright. Ian, how are you?
I'm not bad, Andrew. I've been better, but I'm not bad in the current climate. I don't know. I feel like a pinball at the moment with what's going on with our transfers and what's going on. Is it happening? Ain't it happening? Are we getting it? You know, it just feels a little bit like, can something just happen?
Yeah. I think we're all a bit like that. We're all sort of refreshing and looking online to see what the latest bit of news and what have you is. But we'll touch on transfers in a moment. But I suppose there's a very positive development over the last week is that we've reached a cup final, and that's exciting.
Yes. I think that whatever happens, and, you know, people kind of ridicule and belittle our FA Cup achievement, and we know, Andrew, over the years with the Champions League and the emergence of the Champions League and the way that the Premier League is like the be-all and end-all for everybody. For some reason, people don't have the same respect for the FA Cup, but to win it, like, what, three, four times, it's an unbelievable achievement, and people belittle that. So I don't know what they're going to say about us getting to the Carabao Cup, but the fact is, we're beating top teams to get there, like we did with the FA Cup. You know, we've beaten the Chelsea side. I'm sure people would have thought over the two legs we would have lost. And now we've got Manchester City in the final. And, you know, they could say whatever they want about the Carabao Cup, but to beat that opposition to get there and then to win it is always going to be something that I'm going to be very pleased that we do.
Yeah, as a player, like, that wouldn't occur to you. The stature of the competition. Everybody knows where the Carabao Cup stands in the four trophies that you get to play for every season. But as a player, if you're in a cup final at Wembley, you don't think about that, right? You're just thinking about winning the game.
That's what you do, Andrew. You just want to win the game. It's an occasion. It's a prestigious occasion. you got your fans there, and let's face it, it's the first trophy I won, and it just set me on the road. We won that, then we won the FA Cup, then we went on to win the Cup Winners' Cup, and you know you get that winning feeling, you know, and then we ended up winning the Premier League, which obviously is the for me the mecca in respect of English football. So it got me on that getting used to winning things. So whatever happens as a player, you've got that in your cabinet. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Winning something. I'm sure whatever anyone says, if Tottenham started off by just winning that, people can ridicule it as much as they like. But the players and the way it changes the players' mindsets, it's a whole different story.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you know, a trophy is a trophy at the end of the day. It's what fans want to see. Yeah. And look, you can rationalize it and you can say, okay, it's not the most prestigious trophy, but who in the Arsenal end at Wembley when that final takes place is not going to jump up and down if we score goals and win that game?
Exactly.
And, you know, we do have a good...
Andrew, it's against Manchester City.
Yeah.
He doesn't put weak teams out in hardly any game. So it's going to be a game that it's not going to be like some pushover. We've got some mugs who are in the final of the Carabao Cup because it sounds like, I don't know, some kind of exotic coffee. you know, it's still Manchester City that we've got to beat to win it. So whatever happens and whatever people think of it, you know, I'll be pleased if we can beat them. It's going to be a tough one, but you know, that's what we do. We turn up in the finals at Wembley.
Yeah, for sure. And we have beaten City. We beat City on the way to the final last season as well at Wembley. So a good record there. But look, the team that we put out maybe on that day won't be quite as different as it might have been or as it might be for some of the Premier League games, because Henrik Mkhitaryan, for example, is cup-tied for the Carabao Cup, and he won't be able to play there. So let me ask you about this. Alexis Sanchez has gone to Manchester United. Arsenal have got Henrik Mkhitaryan in return. In terms of how the deal went down and the timing of it and the circumstances of it, you know, it's a January thing. Arsenal didn't really manage the situation as well as they could have. In the circumstances, was Mkhitaryan in return for Sanchez going to United better than taking 20 million off Manchester City and seeing him go there for the team?
Without a doubt, Andrew, simply because, yes, we had no choice in the fact that we've got one of our world-class players who wants to leave. That is something that all the shit that they should... Everything what they should have done, Andrew, in respect of getting money for that guy, is, you know, for a player that's... I know he's 29, but we're talking 70 million, at least, 75. In the end, it so happens that we've fallen on our feet with it, because we've got Henrik Mkhitaryan out of a deal where if he did wait until the end of the season, we'd probably end up with nothing.
Mm.
And I think that's the fault. We have to look at it, how fortunate we are that we've actually got something out of a situation what has been managed from the start in respect of him running down his contract, not selling him last season when we could have got the money for him. And now what we've done, we've got into a situation where we've got Henrik Mkhitaryan out of the deal. And let's face it, with Henrik Mkhitaryan, somebody who is a top quality player, a really, really good attacking midfield player, who so happens to not be Jose Mourinho's cup of tea. Now, we see that is not really something that you don't want on your CV. It's kind of something that if you can have on your CV that you didn't get on with someone like Jose Mourinho and you went somewhere else, that is not going to stop people from wanting to take you, because we know that he's made mistakes in the past. What we want, Andrew, is for Henrik Mkhitaryan to come and just... You know, with the different atmosphere he'll have at Arsenal, it is, whatever anyone says, it is a relaxed atmosphere. For me, sometimes too relaxed in respect of our players are going to perform. But he will welcome that, because I believe he's that kind of player. He's that kind of player that maybe he thrives in that kind of environment rather than the intense pressure of the players that he had wrapped around him maybe at Manchester United and the manager, you know, on top of it as well. So maybe... I think, as much as we know that Sanchez is an unbelievable performer when he plays, you know what I mean? I was really upset with him, watching him playing against Yeovil like his life depended on it. And, you know, we knew that he was going to leave, and just give us something. You know, the fans in the end, obviously they knew he was going, but you can just see what the fans do. They're still singing Mesut Ozil's name, and he's not signed yet. So that's something you've got to worry about. But going back to Mkhitaryan, I think that we have, that board have fallen on their feet. You're looking at Mislintat, we're looking at our man Gazidis, and you know they're making a very, I heard you say they're making a very public thing. That has to happen.
Yeah, for Aubameyang.
That has to happen. Yeah, it has to happen. They've got to make that happen. And, you know, if we can do that with everything and the way it's kind of boiled down to us maybe losing, well, we've lost Sanchez, fingers crossed we don't lose Ozil, but we're still looking like we're going to get two better than, much, much better than average players. They might not be world-class yet, but, like, I think that Aubameyang, if he can hit that form, then we've got goals. And Mkhitaryan, if Ozil did leave, you know, you'd have to say that he's not somebody. He, of course, he's a little bit of a downgrade on Ozil when Ozil's doing his stuff, but I don't think it's something that we have to say, this is a nightmare. The only thing I'm worried about with him is he going to be able to come and then perform for us? Because it's not really happened for him yet here, and I'm hoping that's simply because of Mourinho.
Yeah, I think Mourinho's, you know, a little bit poisonous for certain players. It just doesn't work for them at all.
There's not a little bit about it, Andrew. He's poisonous to certain players. You know, let's just get that out there.
Okay.
He's poisonous to certain players.
That's fine. And we've seen some of those players flourish when they go elsewhere, and you look at Mohamed Salah, who was at Chelsea. Kevin De Bruyne, of course, was at Chelsea as well. There have been others down the years who have, once they've been freed from the poisonous yoke of Mourinho, have come good. So fingers crossed.
But we can't ignore even Lukaku. He got him out for whatever reason, and then he bought him back for 70-odd million pounds. You know, it's not something that I think he worries about too much, Mourinho, because all he wants to do is win.
Yeah.
Whether it's ugly, whether it's beautiful, he just wants to win. And so he doesn't care if he gets rid of Salah, who's arguably one of the player of the year this season. So get rid of De Bruyne, who's arguably going to be fighting Salah for the player of the year trophy. Two players that you could say would fit in literally any team in the world right now.
Yeah, like you say, it's a good thing to have on your CV. but just going back to Alexis.
Yes.
I think, you know, obviously when you hear about a player like him leaving and you look at what he's done for us, you know, I never quite kind of got into the idea that when a player leaves, people immediately go, well, he wasn't that good, he wasn't this, he wasn't that. You know, and that's a self-defense mechanism. We all understand that. He was absolutely brilliant for us for 3 years. You know, and we have, like you say, in some ways landed on our feet with the Mkhitaryan thing because it gives us a good player to replace him. But, you know, there are still questions to be asked about why it is that top players come to Arsenal and why it is that they consistently want to leave. It's, you know, it seems obvious that for many of them, people can say it's money, and of course money plays a part, but you know, when you're a footballer, I'm guessing that being able to achieve your sporting ambitions is also a very big part of what drives your career in certain directions. And that seems to me to be the case with Sanchez.
Well, I think that looking at some of the comments about Sanchez and some of the Arsenal fans, and you have to see, of course, they're disappointed. Well, you know, he's a world-class player and he's leaving us. He doesn't want to be with us. So to see them saying that he's greedy, he's a mercenary and this and that, we know, and you know, Andrew, in your heart, Alexis Sanchez is not leaving Arsenal for money. You know, he's in a situation, he's a top player right now, he's going to get a lot of money for going to a club like Manchester United because of the situation he finds himself in. It's not a mercenary move. He's not gone sideways to a team that can't that are not challenging as well as we are challenging, but he's gone there for more money than we're giving him. He's gone to a club with a manager, with a hierarchy that will give that manager whatever he needs to get whatever player he wants to make sure that they, are going to challenge. That is why, at the end of the day, with what happened with us, with whether it's Arsene Wenger, whether it's the board, and I believe that Arsene Wenger's got to take a lot of the flack as well in respect of letting Sanchez get to that point, because he should have built a team around him what's going to match Sanchez's ambitions. That's what you do. That's how you keep a player like that. You get players around him. Yes, we got Mesut, but if you're going to be totally honest, there's players like around him and that where you can see that he just totally got no respect for them or their, and that was happening. He wasn't getting the players that were coming in alongside him that's going to enable him to win the Premier League in his eyes, win the Champions League in his eyes. And that is why you saw him get so upset and so angry with the players. It's something that, on a different scale, you see Ronaldo do at Real Madrid, but he's still got top players, but he's even better than the top players. And you can see how frustrated he got with certain players around him. Mm. I think that that's what happened with Sanchez. And in the end, we had a player that he dies for the cause. His natural game, like Tevez, like Suarez, their natural game is to play as hard as they can. And to see him clock off like he did for us in the last few games, you know, I mean, scored goals because it was better for him when he scored the goals. He knew he was leaving. To see him clock off like that and see him running around like his life depended on it to win against Yeovil, with all due respect, was very, very hard for me to take. It was hard for me to take him leaving in the first race, but I'd like to have seen him do that for us until he left. Coutinho, professionalism, do the right thing. Mm. But, like, he didn't do that. In the end, like I say, I had to do the game where he was for Yeovil Man United and watched him. And, you know, there's flashes where you think to yourself, he's going to be brilliant for them. That's hard to do. That's hard to take, because I could see that he is going to be good for them, because he will give them the X factor. But at the same time, it has to go back for me to the boss and the board have got to take a lot of blame in respect of letting players like that get down to what they're doing. I think that Mislintat and Senai, however you pronounce his name, I think that that's going to be a good thing for us. I think they're now putting into place, Andrew, what's going to happen, because Arsene Wenger, I don't believe, if he stays after this year, what's happening now underneath him is, I don't think he's in control of that. Gazidis is now gone, right, you're for 2 years, okay, we're going to have to save you, but you are going to take what you get from us, from Mislintat, from Sanlai. So you do your stuff, you do your parade, your this season, next season, that's it. You're going to be gone, and then the next manager will have a whole different palette to work from.
Yeah.
You know, a whole different, you know, to start to do what he needs to do for us. And I think that the sooner that day comes, Andrew, the better. I just want us to draw a line at some stage under the Arsene Wenger. I don't think he's going to leave this time. At the end of this season, Andrew, I think it'll probably at the end of the contract, because if he doesn't, then I don't know what to say. I simply don't know what to say.
No.
If he doesn't leave after these 2 years,
yeah,
because of what's going on, and I know that he won't be happy.
Sure.
With the fact that there's other people after all these years, Andrew, that he hasn't got the reins no more. He has not got the reins. I do not think that's a bad thing. I think that we've got to be patient for this season and the next season. And then I think the new Arsenal will start, unfortunately for Arsene Wenger, when he's gone.
Well, yeah, it's certainly an interesting development, isn't it? And
yeah,
it is a real change in the way things have operated down the years. But just going back to what you were saying about building a team around a key player like Alexis Sanchez,
yeah,
is that why when someone like him goes, you have to, in some ways, make a statement about what you do to replace him? Like, in the circumstances, yeah, Mkhitaryan for Sanchez, it was the best of a bad situation, and we did well enough out of that. But in order to convince the players at the club that this is a club that's serious, that's got ambition, that wants to win things, it's why the signing of Aubameyang for me is so important, because it sends another message. He's a star player. I know he's scored 141 goals in 212 games for Dortmund. It's an amazing record. People can talk about, well, it's, you know, maybe it's just the Bundesliga, which I don't really get, because nobody questions Lewandowski when he scores all those goals. But it says something, doesn't it, to the rest of the players? It says, look, here we are, we've let Sanchez go, maybe circumstances weren't ideal, but here's a top player to come in and to really make us better up front. And for players like Mesut Ozil, even Aaron Ramsey, who you're looking to commit their futures to the club, they have to feel that as well as the fans, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what, you know, when they say you need to, can you imagine if you bring someone in that's kind of a bit of a damp squib in respects of a signing, it actually deflates the so-called Aaron Ramseys, Mesut Ozils, all these players that you're looking to say, listen, man, we've just lost a player that when it's not going well for us, he wins games for us. He does something out of the blue. We need that somewhere else. Where are we getting it from? Now, if you're going to get someone like Aubameyang who can take half a chance out of a quarter of a chance, with the ammunition that we can provide for him, Mkhitaryan, Ozil, then you're thinking to yourself, hey, it doesn't seem that bad, because that's how it feels right now, Andrew. Mm. It doesn't feel that bad, even though we've lost a player of that caliber. You know, it doesn't feel like, oh, this is a disaster. When it first started to happen, my first thoughts on losing Sanchez, if I was in the dressing room, was, oh, man, this guy, the first thing that probably the guys would have said is, I want to find out from my agent what's going on here. Mm. I want to say if everyone's leaving here. And then how do you attract players to the club if you've got players like that leaving? If you've got players like that leaving, it doesn't send a good message to players who you think who wants to come here. Now, we might be getting someone like Aubameyang because a couple of years ago, he was hot. He was on fire. Real Madrid, we know that he wanted to go there. Everybody was... Man United, all of them were linked with him. And then that went really cold. Okay, we're getting him now. And it seems like, okay, there's not too much... not too many, I should say, other teams who are trying to outbid us for him. I actually don't care, because I believe with the midfielders we've got, and fingers crossed we could keep Mesut, I'm still not convinced of that, then you've got a striker who can score goals. But going back to the players themselves, we'll see Aubameyang coming in, see Mkhitaryan, and plus the way Sanchez was acting towards the end, it will almost be a weight lifted off their shoulders, like, oh, he's gone, brilliant. And then Mkhitaryan comes in, and I'm heard from Boldy, he is absolutely flying in training, Andrew.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? He must be absolutely like, oh, God, this is amazing. Oh, my God, I don't feel no pressure. This is brilliant. So he's absolutely flying in training. So the guys will see that in training and think, yeah, we've got a player here. Then if Aubameyang comes through the door, all of a sudden, they've got rid of a bit of a bad egg, and they've got two guys in who have got something to prove. So the players, and this is what I'm hoping with Mesut, although Mesut, we know Mesut can go on to bigger, better things, and he's in the stage of his life and contract where he can earn, like he's seen Sanchez do, a fortune for running it down. If I was Arsenal, I would match anything that anybody came in with, whether it's United or any. I would, if they say, well, we're going to give you 30 million and we're going to give you £300,000 a week, I'll say to Mesut, we will give you the same.
Yeah.
And we are going to sign players. We'll give you exactly the same as they're going to give you, and we'll sign players. I guarantee you that. And if we don't sign them, we'll put a clause in the contract what says, didn't happen, that didn't happen. You can move whenever you like. We want you here.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, Andrew, we need to start to make people understand, yes, some players have left for whatever reason. Van Persie, Thierry left when he left, and you know, seen now Sanchez leave. The fact is, we've got to start making people know, okay, we're going to pay them the money, and we are going to go to people and say, you need to come here, because we are getting back to where we should be. Players like Erz, why do you think players like Erz stayed? We can pay them.
Yeah.
We need players like you to come in, to go with him, to show people that, okay, we might have fallen off a little bit, but we coming back with a vengeance as well.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do to Mesut. And that's why people like Mesut will look at these two players coming in and say, you know something, that's not too bad. I don't mind that. Aaron Ramsey will be saying, yeah. Because they will be training with Mkhitaryan and seeing, hang on a minute, he's bloody good.
Yeah.
This is not bad. This is really good. And that's what we need to do. We need to, at some stage, get to draw that line, Andrew, and say, right, okay, Arsenal, let's get back together. We need a goalkeeper, Andrew. We need to start looking about a top goal, I'm so totally honest.
Well, you know...
I'm not saying he's throwing them in at the moment, but if we're going to do what we're doing and we want to make people like Mesut, we need to make decisions where top players are saying, geez, wow, they're not playing around. That needs to happen. These things need to happen. People need to be moved out of the club where it feels like, whoa, just punch them straight in the nose. Look at the blood.
Yeah.
That's got to start happening. So as people around the club and the players will start seeing there's something happening there. It's serious stuff now.
Yeah.
That's what needs to happen.
It has happened to an extent, hasn't it, this month? Because, you know, Theo Walcott has gone to Everton. Francis Coquelin has gone to Valencia. And you would say for both of those players, those are pretty good moves for them at this stage of their careers. It had gone stale for them at Arsenal. And maybe it is a sign that things are beginning to be replenished and refreshed.
Yeah, but Andrew, it doesn't make me feel 1% confident, is it, that maybe Olivier Giroud is linked with Chelsea?
Yeah.
I don't think Now, if we do get Aubameyang, and we've still got Lacazette there, who, unfortunately for him, he just looks like somebody at the moment that it's happening for. But we can't surely sell or get rid of someone like Olivier Giroud, especially to Chelsea, because if he's good enough to hang around and be Chelsea's number two or whatever, then he should stay with us.
Yeah, I agree.
He should be good enough to stay with us. So that wouldn't make me happy. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that over the years he's thrilled me with some of his stuff. I think for a big man, I didn't like the way he get knocked about so much he falls. But the fact is, he scores goals, Andrew.
Yeah.
And if he's good enough for Chelsea's bench, I believe that we should keep him for our bench.
Yeah.
Chelsea want him. So that worries me. But there's other people, you know, I think that people like, I don't know, Danny Welbeck is somebody that they should start looking about what we're getting. What we're getting now.
Mm.
Let's be ruthless. You know what I mean? And I use that name, you know, to a certain extent. Even, I know Aaron Ramsey, you know, but players like that. We've got to start looking at Iwobi. Iwobi needs to now, for me, he needs to start thinking about getting to that next level of producing. And he needs to be put under the pressure to do that.
I want to ask you about him, actually, just because obviously there was the thing a couple of weeks ago that, you know, he was up late and he was out, you know, a couple of nights before a game. And look, you know, I, as a young player, and I'm sure you've experienced it, you know, in dressing rooms in the past, you know, a young player, you get to a certain point and, you know, maybe not life becomes easy, but you can maybe take things for granted. Have you been a little bit encouraged, at least by the reaction from him since that incident?
The manager, I have to say,
go on.
Sorry, Andrew, finish.
Well, I was just going to say the manager had two choices, didn't he? He could either drop him and make a real example of him, or he could leave him in the team, still discipline him and say, look, you owe me. And I think to an extent we've got that from him.
It's worked. Because when it happened, my reaction, especially when you think of Arsenal and the way dressing room is, and there does seem to be no seniority in respect of putting people in their place. When it happened and he played and played again, my first reaction was he should have been left out. Make people realise that you can't do that. The fact that he has played, and there has been a little bit of an upsurge in his game. He does look a little intensified, to be totally honest. And Arsene Wenger's, you know, he's not the guy. He's not going to be the stick. He's gonna put the arm around you. He's gonna love you. He has given them too much love. For me, for a young player who's just breaking into the team, I don't know if he's had 50 appearances yet. Before the games, being caught going out, breaking curfew, whatever it is, shows that he's not afraid of something. There's something he should be afraid of that he's not. Right? That was the worry for me. Now, I thought that Arsene Wenger should have left him out and made an example for the youngsters that's coming, Maitland-Niles, Reece Nelson, all those players, Willock, all those players who are coming through. They'll look at that and say, well, he's done that and he's still actually played. So what I'm thinking is that Arsene Wenger, again, has done something that, yes, it's maybe bucked the trend with other people and even with me, because I would have left him out, but he seems to have responded to it. He's playing well, but I want to see him play even better because I think he's got more. He's got pace and strength and skill, and we've seen that he can score goals. He can get forward and score goals. He should be now, somebody should be driving it into him after every game. Watch the game. What did you contribute? What could you have done there? What could you have done here? We've seen over the years, and I've heard on one of the podcasts, Andrew, and you were totally right. There's players that we've had that are good players that have not moved on. I do not want to see that happen to someone like Alex Iwobi, Maitland-Niles, Jack Willock if he comes through, you know, Reece Nelson, you know, Eddie Nketiah. You don't want to see it happen with them. You want them to be saying, right, you come here, this is what happened in this game. What could you have done better? Maybe look at him making that run there. You pass that to him there, then you can run around here, you get it back here. Coaching them. That is what I believe should be happening with someone like Alex Iwobi. I heard, like, Boldy wanted to do some training with certain people, but Arsene Wenger and Burrow, they don't want it. It has to be to time. They don't want them doing extra training. And this is where you go to the next level, because if you just do it and play like Alex is playing, you don't actually get to, right, this is where I take you to the side and say to you, this is how you play, and that's fine. We're not going to knock any of your edges off. We're just going to make you realize we want you to play like this, but we want you to up your intensity and play like this. Is he on? Can I pass it to him? Can I make sure that my passing's accurate? Can I make sure that when I get into that last third, like Ozil, like Sanchez, get into the last third, will I pick the right pass? Will fans say, oh, brilliant, when Alex Iwobi's running, the fans get up because they know that something's going to happen. Like when Ozil is running towards the last third with players running in front of him and defenders backtracking, you know that he's going to pick the right pass. Now, I'm not saying Iwobi can get to his level in respect of doing that because Ozil's got that naturally. He's world-class. Mm. But he can learn from that and make sure that he chooses the right options. And the way you do that, Andrew, is showing him in, on a regular basis. Watch what Ozil does. Watch what you do. This is what you can do with your ability. And let's face it, he's got a lot of ability.
Sure.
And that is what needs to happen. That's what needs to happen with him, Andrew.
What?
And I, you know what? If I was a coach in there, I would love to do that. Just
what?
Take him to the side to watch him develop.
What's the manager's objection to that kind of instruction when it comes to a young player? Because I know he likes players to in some ways to work things out for themselves, but you know, yeah, that's fine when you're 26 and 27 and you're Dennis Bergkamp and you're a genius,
yeah,
right? But
look,
Dennis Bergkamp, and we've read the stories, was somebody who did extra training all the time,
all the time.
You know, and he was just peerless almost, you know, in terms of what he could do and the way he saw the game. But even he did that extra training. So it's very strange, isn't it, to think that the manager doesn't want that the young players to do that?
It's not even, it's baffling. Because when you're a young player, you're coming in and you get into the team off of what you've come through, the academy or the youth team, and then you get to, right, I'm here now. Now I'm at this level, now I'm in the first team. I'm going to go again because I need to learn. You look at Theo and you look at the Ox, two of unbelievable potential, and you see Theo, when he left us, he just looked like an older Theo. He'd done literally the same things. The Ox, he was in and out all the time. He was in and out in respects of his form. You know, we didn't see any change in, oh, he's doing this differently, oh, he's doing that differently. Like, if you've seen the massive change in someone like Sterling, there's a massive change,
yeah,
in him getting into the box, in him from outside to inside, the way he moves off of what other players are doing. There's a massive change in the way he's being coached. This is what you need. And like Arsene Wenger was all about timing. Timing every session, and that is it, because you don't want to do too much because you're going to start getting injured. But then what happens is that if you're a young player, all you're doing is playing football, and if you haven't got the older, experienced players in the dressing room to say, well, you need to do this and you need to do that, like Boldy and Tony and Dicko and Nigel, all these people who will help a young player when you come in and say, no, stay 5 yards this way. Now you can go. Mm. Come inside 5 yards. I don't know if we've got that at Arsenal, because you don't see a lot of that happening while people are on the pitch. And when you watch the game, you don't see happening.
Yeah.
We've got great players, but you don't see them saying, whoa, where are you going? No, come back and go 5 yards inside. Do that. You know, we don't see that because Arsene Wenger doesn't encourage that. And if you're a young player and you're not getting that, then you will continue to play the game you play and make the mistakes you make, and you will continually make those mistakes.
It's why they hit a wall, isn't it? It's why they get to a point and they don't get any further.
And then all of a sudden, Andrew, they think they want to play better, but they can't because they're not learning anything more.
Mm.
They don't know how to get better, so they will make the same mistakes. The fans will then say, oh, God, look at him, he's giving it away again. Oh, then you lose patience with them. Because when you see something, you say, oh, he was doing, when he first got in the team, he was doing that, he's still doing it.
Mm.
That's when the fans should say, hang on a minute, is that his fault or is that the coaching staff's fault?
Yeah.
So this is the problem. This is the problem we have. And I don't think that would happen anywhere else. You know, as much as it pains me, I'm looking at the Ox. I was watching him against Manchester City. And his intensity and his passing and his confidence, it was brilliant. Now, we saw him doing this at Arsenal. But then we see him drop off drastically. Or we see him get taken off when he's playing well. Didn't have time to build momentum and continue to learn what he's doing.
Mm.
That is what will happen when a player gets confidence and he gets coached. We've got players now, Andrew, that if they get coached, Maitland-Niles, I'd love to see him at some stage in and around the midfield with his ability and his calmness.
Yeah.
Love to see that. I'd love to see someone like him bursting in. Instead of playing him at left back, what has happened to Colasinac? What has he done something wrong?
Beats me. I don't know.
It's ridiculous to see a young player like, yes, Andrew, two games, yeah, play him there. But then play him in his position so that he can be confident in his position, and then he can say, blimey, I could deal with this Premier League. I could do this. I've done it at left back. Now I'm doing it in my position. Now I'm going to stake a claim for my position.
Yeah.
You know, but like to continue playing him, then leaving him, you know, it's baffling that the players are not being coached like that. And Tony Adams said it years ago, got slaughtered for it. Now everybody's realising. Mm. Everybody's realising. And that's just the way Arsene Wenger is. He buys players and puts players in the first team and believes they have to learn on the job. Doesn't happen with some people.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
Let me ask you a couple of quick things just to finish off very quickly. Jack Wilshere, I have to say there were times where I had doubts as to whether Jack would ever make it back, and I didn't necessarily think the loan move to Bournemouth was a great idea. But, he's been called upon, he's been counted on, and he's stepped up, hasn't he? But he's another one whose contract is in a precarious situation. It seems as if they want to give him some a deal which in some ways takes into account the fitness issues that he has. On one hand, that's kind of understandable, but as a player, would that affect your thinking? Would you feel less valued by a club if they said, look, we really want you to stay, but you've had these injuries, and you can't deny the injuries, but if someone else comes along and says, we don't give a shit about your injuries, here's another 50 grand a week and a long contract, what do you do?
Well, the thing about, for me, with Jack and the way he's played, he's been fantastic in our midfield, if I'm going to be totally honest. Jack plays how he plays, Andrew. He tries to get the ball. He tries to pass the ball into areas. He tries to run with the ball into areas where he's going to hurt the opposition. And when we look at Jack's injury and over the years, it's always impact. He's, you know what I mean? He's bang. He's had a bang. Or, you know what I mean? He's crashed into something. Mm. Yes, people say, well, yeah, he needs to stop going into those kind of challenges. Even the one what he got when they blasted the ball on his ankle. You know, those are like... You know, you can't really legislate for those things. He's not like running along and then, oh, he's got to pull up, oh, his thigh. Oh, he's hamstring. Jack gets impact muscle injuries. So that says to me, if we can ease down the fact that, okay, Jack, you are not going to blast into that challenge, or you are letting the ball go, or we can't legislate for someone hacking him down. But the fact is, in the recent games and since he's been in the team, he doesn't even look like somebody. I'm not worried about him when he goes down now in a challenge. And you know what I mean? Because he looks like he's played kind of through that. He looks like he's played through that kind of confidence where, oh, I'm going to get injured going into the game. He doesn't look like that person. He looks like somebody that, yeah, I'm ready to play. Now, I ain't got a problem with Arsenal saying, well, we're going to pay you this, or we're going to pay you that, or we're going to put this kind of, like, restraint on the contract, or we're going to put this stipulation in. For me, Jack should say, OK, I'll do that, but then what should happen is, if I play, and I play continually, and I don't get injured for the whole time, this whole season, in respect of an injury that is a, like... I don't know where he's breaking down on, at the rate he was breaking down. Let's say if he gets one injury every 3 months or 4 months and it's a little one for, out for 2-3 weeks, that's fine. But we're talking about the injuries that are capable of leaving him out for 18 months and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get any injury that's going to keep him out for a certain period of time, then he should then get recompensed for that. You know, there's ways of doing the contract. Because if you ask me, he's better. Like Xhaka has still got to do it for me, Andrew. You know, he's somebody that you know, Jack should be playing for me in front of Xhaka, because I don't actually know what Xhaka brings. I'm not sure what he does in the midfield for the team. I know what Jack does. He can break up play and he'll get the ball forward. He'll go and join play. He can link up, do 1-2s on the edge of the box. He can do everything. If Xhaka's not got time and space to launch his Hollywood ball across the field, where by the time it gets there, people are normally marked him anyway. And he's sometimes he gives the ball away too much for me, for somebody who's got so much time on the ball. I don't know what Xhaka does yet.
Mm.
He's still annoying for me. And there's Arsenal fans that I say, I'm sorry, I don't get it yet. You know, I would probably, you know, with the way it's going, I would still, let me have a go with Maitland-Niles in there. I know that he's a midfield. If you could try Maitland-Niles at left back, you can try him at holding midfielder.
Yeah, I agree.
Do we honestly need that person who's going to knock the ball 40 yards across the pitch for somebody who's going to, by the time it gets there, is faced up by two people? You might as well have Jack in there with some legs around him. You know, two people in there with legs. You know what? Elneny. I've always liked Elneny. I don't mind him. You know, Elneny and Jack and Maitland, legs like that, with Jack in there, with Ozil in front, maybe Mkhitaryan. We've now got something where, okay, we are attacking. And this is why probably I'm not a coach, because I don't think about the defensive side of it, Andrew. I'm thinking about pace, legs, and can we stop them on a break? Now, if we've got Elneny and you can show Maitland-Niles, listen, in this instance, if Jack goes, then you stay here so that if we get a break. That doesn't seem like a lot of hard work to me. Now, somebody's got to tell me, nah, righty, you're talking bollocks because da-da-da. Then I'll say, okay, I get it. But I can't see how Xhaka continues to make the team when there's players, for me, with better engines, with better distribution, that could do a job. Now, going back to Jack, I believe that we should sign him up, because he is somebody that if Chelsea could take Drinkwater, they could take Jack, because he's a better player. He's still somebody that someone would say, I'm going to take him, because we can afford to pay him that money. You know what I mean? He might not play as often, but if he comes in, he's somebody, Andrew, who can make a difference to most midfields. He can make a difference to most midfields.
All right, well, look, we'll have to let you go, but I know you just want to talk about the fact that you haven't been on Twitter for a little while, and you've taken a little break there after some interactions. There were some comments, I think, that people, perhaps foreign fans in particular, and I mean foreign fans, fans abroad, and, of course, there are fans all over the world of Arsenal who are a little bit upset by what they perceived were comments against them, but...
Yes, and you know what, Andrew? And it was... It was something that, I can totally understand how they felt. But the problem that I have with the fans, and it's not just them fans, it's all of our fans, is that for some reason they believe that you don't feel it as well. They feel that you don't get emotional as a former player, and it doesn't hurt you as well. Now, I said something like, okay, here's another million mile away fan having a go. Excuse me, but I'm going to deal with the people in the trenches. And what I meant like that was, okay, yes, you're far away, but I'm getting people on a daily basis coming to me, saying to me, what's going on with this? What's going on with that? And I put that out there. Now, Andrew, it's one of those where you do something and you regret doing that. Because even in my time while I was doing that, I was thinking, fuck it. I don't care. That's how I feel. You know what I mean? Like, but when you, at leisure, Andrew, I feel I don't want to upset Arsenal fans. We're all going through it together. You know, it was after the Man United game where we done so well, but still lost.
Yeah.
You know, and so when I said that, I said it in a way where, you know, I'm pissed off as well. Now, what I wanted to say was, you know, I know that the fans, because they can't get across here, I know what they do. They get up at all sorts of times in the morning to drive a couple of hours to go and watch the game. And yes, I totally, totally respect that. You know what I mean? And this is why I wanted to make sure that it's on somewhere like here. I apologise to them and make them know that I don't mean anything by that. I'm a very emotionally driven man. Everybody knows about that. But for the world of Arsenal to come on and be so derogatory in their abuse to something that could have easily have been, you know, I've apologised many times on Twitter for... But I got so upset with, I do not want to actually, like, interact with Arsenal fans on a social media, especially on Twitter. You know, especially on Twitter. I will not say anything else now. That one there, and the way the Arsenal fans came, it upset me to such a point, I thought, I'm going to come off. And the reason why I'm going to come off is because I don't want to have to argue with Arsenal fans and say things that, you know, stay there forever, and they harbour it and fester it. And when we lose, and I'm on the telly, and I have to say stuff about Arsenal that might not be into their liking, then it just festers more, and then they just it turns into even more hate. The fact is, I don't want that. I don't want that. So at the end of the day, Andrew, I want to make sure that the Arsenal fans, especially our fans abroad, understand. I'm so sorry for that, for how that came about, but at the same time, you can put that across in a way that doesn't have to be nasty.
Sure.
You know what I mean? You made me know that how disrespectful I was, and I've apologized for that. And I just want you to know that, why do we have to be the ones that everybody laughs at? Why do I have to get stuff from other fans saying, I can't believe how they slaughter you, and then fans saying, I can't believe how you slaughter your fans? We should not be like that. And I just don't, it just makes me very sad, Andrew.
Yeah, it's a consequence of the modern world, isn't it? And social media in particular.
Yeah,
and there are,
you
know, and I don't think it's restricted just to fans abroad. You know, it's part of football culture these days that if you say anything against a football club, there's going to be people who will have a go at you and have a pop at you and criticize. Yeah. And, you know, I think anybody who has listened to you for the last 40 minutes on here will know that everything you do and everything you say comes out of a place of real love and respect for the club, and by the club I mean everything that the club is. It's not just the stadium. Yeah. It's not just the players. It's not just the manager. It's not just the fans. It's the fans all over the world. Everything that makes Arsenal Arsenal is clearly what you love, and that's why
Absolutely.
People love you as well, man. So
thank you so much, Andrew. I really thank you for the opportunity. I love the Arsecast. I miss James. I got to say,
yeah, he's
is
coming
he back.
He's
done and everything now. Yeah,
yeah, he's back this evening. So we'll have one later in the week.
Tell him I was asking about him.
I will, of course. And look, thank you as ever for talking to me. I know everyone really loves listening to you, and I appreciate your time a huge amount, Ian. It's a pleasure as always.
Thank you so much. Can you just say my wife's been here? Nance, can you say hello to Andrew, please? Can you say hello to Andrew? Andrew.
Hi, Andrew.
Andrew,
hi.
My wife was making little noises in the background, and I just wanted people to know that, you know what I mean, it was just my wife.
That's fine. And look, you kept the swearing to a minimum this time as well, so that's good.
No more swearing. That's another thing. That's another thing, Andrew. No more swearing.
All right, Ian. Thanks a million.
God bless. Thanks a lot, mate. Bye, mate.
There's not a lot I can add to any of that other than to say thank you again to Ian Wright for his time. It's always brilliant talking to him. And even if you don't agree with everything that he says, what you cannot deny is his passion for Arsenal Football Club and for his desire for it to do well and to succeed and to achieve things. And I think that's something that we all share. My thanks again to Ian. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. We will have an Arsecast Extra at some point later in the week. Not quite sure when it'll happen, but it will definitely happen. For today, I'm going to leave you with some music. Take it away, Mr. Bowie. Sometimes.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.